Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Another great day in Chicago. Get out and enjoy it while you can. It's 10 minutes after 8 o'clock, and Dean Richards back with us for some entertainment news. How you doing, Dean?
Good morning, everybody.
And everybody is talking about Ellen, who talked about the story that broke over the summer. What's the latest on that, Dean?
Yeah, her 18th season premiere was yesterday. And she used part of her monologue to address the allegations that her show was, as it's been described, a toxic workplace of bullying and sexual harassment. She apologized for it and also had this to say.
The truth is, I am that person that you see on TV. I am also a lot of other things. Sometimes I get sad. I get mad. I get anxious. I get frustrated. I get impatient. And I am working on all of that. I am a work in progress. And I am especially working on the impatience thing because, and it's not going well because it's not happening fast enough. I will tell you that.
Yeah, not making excuses for it, but really, doesn't everybody have a bad day once in a while where they're
yeah.
impatient or a little snippy or...
Of course.
You know, especially if you're a perfectionist, you know, and you expect everyone to be working at that same level, and that doesn't always happen. That, of course, would never happen to any of us.
No.
On any of our shows on WGN.
No, but. Although I'm taking Ellen's statement there, and I'm going to load it up on my phone and then play that to people I run into in the hallway here.
Yeah, I've made it my ringtone on my phone.
That's a good idea.
That I'm working on it. I'm working on it. They since the allegations came out, three producers on the show were fired, and Ellen says she knows ultimately that she is responsible for what happens on the show, and you know she's working on correcting things. That's the best she can do, I guess.
Did you get a chance to watch the Emmys Sunday night, Dean?
I did.
And you know what? I said this yesterday. I enjoy weddings virtually. I enjoy bar mitzvahs virtually. And now I'm adding to the list the Emmys. I thought that was a very interesting, good program.
I thought it worked out pretty well, with the exception of the one thing that they did with Jennifer Aniston and setting the garbage can on fire.
Oh, yeah,
bit, and it just didn't go out. It didn't, it wasn't the end of the world, but...
It wasn't as good as you catching on fire trying to grill something
right.
in a cooking segment.
I think there's a lot more entertainment value in wondering whether, you know, which limb I'm going to cut, burn, or scald on a given segment. But, overall, I think it was very creatively done. Very,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't boring. Jimmy Kimmel, I thought, did a very appropriate job with it all,
mm-hmm.
and it was interesting seeing the winners, and even the losers. They took shots, reaction shots, in their home environments with their families, in their pajamas. It was a very relaxed show. I hope that all shows. I hope we don't have to sit through endless award shows of everybody being in a big auditorium again. This was very workable.
Yeah, exactly. And I read that they sent out these kits to all the nominees with HD cameras and special lights and so forth. I mean, the production, the direction, man, oh man, it was quite an undertaking.
They did a really, really good job. I can't imagine what a technical nightmare that must have been back, behind the scenes of just coordinating. I mean, they don't know who the winner. They literally do not know who the winner is going to be, so they have to have cameras set up.
Mm-hmm.
And say there's five nominees, they have to have cameras ready to go at all five different places. Multiply that by the number of categories and nominees, and what that must have been like to, you know, put it all together. You know, was it was impressive. And I thought also an entertaining show. All of that said, it also was the lowest rated Emmy show in the history of the Emmys. 6 million people watched, which may seem like a lot, but it's down significantly. I don't know if people just aren't interested or, you know, for a lot of people, they just soon not spend 3 hours watching an award show and just look at their phones. You know, you can get all the updates on who's winning by looking at your phones and seeing what's happening. And also, by the way, just on a side note, I could not be happier with the TV show Schitt's Creek winning, sweeping the comedy category. They won every single award in the comedy category, 9 awards. And I just think it's one of the funniest, best acted, best written, well produced shows. I'm sad that it's now ended after 6 seasons, but you know, nobody loves a show after it's had a huge winning night like that. Last night, Comedy Central announced that they're going to start running reruns of Schitt's Creek, and October 2nd they'll start. Then October 7th, Netflix will be running the final season, the 6th and final season. It's already on Netflix. It's the second highest rated show, second most watched show on Netflix. People watch this show and they get addicted to it.
I wanted Chris Elliott to win some Emmys.
He was so funny on that show. every character. But Chris Elliott was hilarious throughout the run of that show.
Well, give the director of the Emmys an Emmy for sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Friends. We were talking about that yesterday because of the Emmys, and now there's a special reading of the script coming.
Yeah, they did that sort of quasi reunion on the Emmys, which Courtney Cox, Jennifer Aniston, and Phoebe, Lisa Kudrow, all were together on Emmy night and watched the Emmys together. And this Friends reunion that HBO is going to be doing is still in the works. It's been delayed a couple of times because of COVID-19 reasons, but that's still in the works. But tonight is going to be something interesting and different, an all-black cast reading of a script from the Friends TV show, starring people like Gabrielle Union, Sterling K. Brown, his wife, Ryan Michelle Bath, Emmy Award winner Uzo Aduba, Aisha Hines, Kendrick Sampson, and Jeremy Pope. We don't know who is going to be Ross or Rachel or Monica or Chandler, Phoebe, Joey, but it's going to be a very interesting take, a script read, not mm-hmm. a you know full drama. It'll be on the platform called Zoom, where it happens tonight at 5 o'clock.
Mel Gibson in the entertainment news this morning. What's he doing, Dean?
Everybody remembers the very controversial movie that he made, got to be over 10 years ago now, The Passion of the Christ. There are reports that he has written a sequel to The Passion of the Christ that would star actor Jim Caviezel again. He played Jesus in the first movie, and it's reported that the sequel will follow the biblical story of Jesus's resurrection and the events that followed it. Scripts are going back and forth between Gibson and Caviezel. Working title, The Passion of the Christ Resurrection. No word on when they'll start shooting that. The original movie made $622 million. I don't know if you ever heard my Jim Caviezel story.
No.
This was right when the movie was out there, and, you know, like everybody was talking about this movie. And I was interviewing John Schneider of Dukes of Hazzard fame.
Mm-hmm.
I went to his house in California, and we're sitting, you know, it's kind of in his backyard, and we're doing an interview, and this amazing looking Lamborghini car zooms into the driveway. You know, Lamborghini doors open like wings
mm-hmm.
on a car, and You know, you had to stop and look at this car because it was so beautiful, and the wings open up, and out comes Jim Caviezel. And John Schneider goes, look at that. Jesus is driving a Lamborghini. I was like, this is pretty weird. There is the guy that just played Jesus in this movie emerging from a $300,000 automobile.
Nice. I like that. Yeah,
couldn't have been nicer, by the way.
It's just nice to have Mel Gibson in the entertainment news, and he hasn't done anything embarrassing.
Yeah, well, he hasn't really done anything embarrassing in a while. He's fessed up to his shortcomings and his problems. And has pretty much stuck to doing what he does best, making movies.
We'll see what happens when he does another interview with you. That'll be the test.
We've had an interview since.
Oh yeah, you did
the original,
you?
And it was very nice.
Yeah, it was okay.
He shook my hand and almost broke my fingers on my hand, but nonetheless, it was very, very pleasant.
Talk to us about Cal Penn. Do people know a lot about Cal Penn?
Yeah, Cal Penn probably is best known for the three mega hit movies that he was in, the Harold and Kumar movies. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, Go to Guantanamo Bay, and Harold and Kumar Christmas Movie. All three of them were major hits. They were hilarious stoner movies. They co-starred Neil Patrick Harris and really kind of transitioned Neil Patrick Harris from his Doogie Howser days into more adult and slightly irreverent roles. They were big hit movies. Cal Penn from that, he was Kumar, went from that to doing movies and very serious dramas on TV, and then became kind of a pretty active political person, working to further issues in which he believed in candidates. He even worked in the Obama administration in their Office of Public Engagement. I'm not 100% sure what that office does. I would guess engage the public. But he is now launching a brand new TV show that'll be on the Freeform cable channel called Cal Penn Approves This Message. It is, as he describes it, a political comedy show, nonpartisan, that is directed specifically to millennial and Gen Z voters. And not talking about issues of the day, but just talking about issues of concern to younger people. And I talked with them on a Zoom couple of days ago, and he told me a little about it.
Our show doesn't react to the 24-hour news cycle. We're issue specific. So if you took the humor of The Daily Show and the positivity of CBS Sunday Morning and put them into one show, that's what we're hoping to do.
Even though your show is nonpartisan, there will be people who say, why don't these celebrities just entertain us, just make movies, just do the news, do whatever. How do you respond to that?
Man, my guidance counselor used to say that. She used to say when I would tell her that I have an interest in the arts and I also have an interest in public service, she goes, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And I was like, come on, why not? Why can't we do multiple things? No, look, this show, I understand that some people may be skeptical. I would urge them to tune in.
I love doing these Zooms, and I love looking into people's houses, and what they have. And I love, the cool pictures, the artifacts that you have behind you. But I'm noticing not one Harold and Kumar piece of memorabilia there.
So this is our set for the show, for Cal Penn Approves This Message. And we curated it because we wanted to pay homage to people who are icons in American history, those who we know about. Like, there are a couple of books on Reagan, who else do we have? We have a ton. I mean, there's Angela Davis, there's Reagan, it's just like a lot of political and organizing philosophy. And then we have folks that people may not know a lot about, like King Kamehameha and folks like that, obviously the Stonewall poster. So we wanted it to be a celebration of how far America has come. Again, like sort of a hat tip to the fact that we're not a divisive show. We're focusing on things that are aspirational. I should also maybe acknowledge that I wish my own apartment was as cool as this.
It's always the case where your TV set is so much nicer than your actual house. So I'm curious about the show. It premieres tonight on Freeform, and it sounds like it's going to be an interesting concept. One other note of something that's on TV tonight, our national cable channel, WGN America, and our News Nation primetime newscast that's on from 7 to 10 p.m. each night, has landed an exclusive one-on-one interview with President Trump. And Joe Donlan will interview the president tonight. They have extended a similar invitation to Vice President Biden. So, you know, we could be seeing that on WGN America. But if you're interested in that, News Nation tonight.
Yep. Joe's doing that at the White House today. Thank you, Dean. And by the way, we've been thinking of you and your family. Very sorry to hear of your mom's passing. Hope you and the family are doing okay.
Yeah, thanks. Taking it one day at a time. But I really appreciate the incredible outpouring of support from our listeners. Who enjoyed hearing my mom on my show on WGN telling her crazy yogurt-making story.
Yeah.
And visiting frequently with recipes and things. Cooking and baking was her passion. She loved it, so she loved that I did a cooking show. But our as I've said a million times, our WGN listeners are the greatest. And for everybody on your show, I really appreciate all the kind words.
Nice memories, and those live on forever.
Yep.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Bob. Bye.